What is up, everybody? Thanks so much for tuning in once again. I'm back in action. I took a break. I took a little bit of a break. I did an episode in January with Bobby Edge, and that was fantastic. And I was all gung-ho and ready to go, but then I went on tour, and then life happened, and I had this festival that I was producing, and then we went on tour again, and just a lot of things have kind of piled up here. So I am back. I'm not going on tour for a month. We don't have any shows in the month of April. We have 3 shows in May. So I am going to be doing some episodes. I have some episodes coming up the next couple weeks. So you're going to see kind of several of them come out here. So very, very stoked on that. We just got back from our longest tour ever, which was a little over a week. And we played with Mercy Music and Taken Days. We have had Brent Waterworth from Taken Days on this podcast before, and we're about to have someone from Mercy Music on. But yeah, it was a great, great, great tour, and I really appreciate everybody that came out to those shows. It was a blast. Yeah, we've just had some awesome times here. It's been fantastic. I really don't have that much to share. I have a lot to share, but I'm not going to share it right now. This episode is with Chris Archuleta from Box Elder. They're based out of Salt Lake City, and we are playing with them on May 30th at Farewell in Kansas City. We absolutely love Kansas City. We always have great shows there, so if you're listening and you're in that area, please come out to the show. We're playing with our friends in Wheat State and the warm-ups as well, so should be a good one. We always have great shows there, like I say. People always come out, so if you're in that area, please come out. We'd love to see you. If you like this podcast, please give us a rating and a follow on your podcast app of choice. That just helps us out a little bit. And we really appreciate it. So without further ado, enjoy this episode with Chris from Box Elder. All right. What is up, everybody? I am back after a long absence of doing this podcast, and I'm here with new homie, Chris from Box Elder. How you doing, man?
Good. How's it going?
I'm good, man. How are you?
So good.
I guess
so
I just stoked. Asked you that.
All good.
Isn't that always funny when you're like, somebody asks you how you're doing, you're like, good, how are you? And then you're on autopilot and you just say, good, how are you?
Exactly. It's like, yeah, hope you have a nice flight. Yeah, you too.
Right. Exactly. Cool, man. Yeah, so I'm stoked to kind of have you on the podcast. It's been a while since I've done an episode. It's been since like January.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. I kind of like...
Breaking it back in.
I'm bringing it back. Like, I don't know if you're the same way, but I'm kind of like, I'm the type of person that like, I have a lot of projects, and like, this is kind of one that I just pick up whenever I have time. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I wish I could be more consistent with it, but yeah, so you guys, we're playing with you guys in Kansas City next month. I'm super stoked about it.
So excited.
Yeah. Have you guys played Kansas City before?
Nope.
Okay. Awesome, dude. I think it'll be a good one.
First time ever going like east. Like we've done like tons of like West Coast touring and like Pacific Northwest and everything like that, but we've never done like Midwest, East Coast, anything like that.
Okay. So. Awesome. Well, I'm stoked to have you guys come out to the Midwest. So,
so
you were originally in, you just moved fairly recently, right? To Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
But you were in Wyoming for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what was kind of the catalyst for moving to Salt Lake?
I mean, a lot of it honestly was the band. I'll be honest, like it was kind of that thing of like being in Wyoming, it just feels like we weren't like really like doing anything anymore. It was kind of like the thing of like we weren't really like loving our jobs. It felt like we were like always in Salt Lake anyways. Like we were just kind of like always looking for like a reason to escape, and it just finally like clicked one day where it was like, okay, we gotta go. last April, I mean, a lot of people kind of, there's been like a weird like dynamic shift with like what our band is and everything like that. And like last April, we kind of like went into like hiatus because like we just basically like gutted our lineup and everything like that. Like it was just kind of like everybody was like doing other stuff. So we were just kind of like, all right, well, who wants to keep doing music? Who doesn't want to keep doing music? And basically we backfilled the band with people from Salt Lake City.
Oh.
that like wanted to be in the band. So it was like, okay, so now half of our band is in Salt Lake, half of the band is in Wyoming. That doesn't really work super well. So maybe it's just time that we kind of like, we wanted to be somewhere bigger and with just like more going on, you know?
Sure.
So it makes sense for us to come here.
Yeah. How are you liking it so far?
It's okay. It's okay. I don't love it. I don't hate it. I mean, there are like days are better than others. Like, I mean, it's just kind of like one of those things. Like if I was given the opportunity to like go somewhere else, I would probably take it. But for like right now, like this is, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's a good, like, I keep telling people, it's like a good like jumping off point. Like we got out of Wyoming. That was our number one goal, was like getting the hell out of there. And so we did that. So no matter where we go from here forward is just like, you know, we're moving into different phases.
Yeah, absolutely. I would think even just from like a touring perspective, like I have friends in Denver and they're like, dude, it's so hard for us. Like, you know, if I'm really lucky to be in St. Louis where like we have Chicago within four hours. We have Memphis and Nashville within 4 hours, Louisville, Indianapolis, Kansas City. We have all these places that are like super close that we can hop up and do Milwaukee and Chicago in a weekend and not have to take any time off work, you know? And the run that we're doing with you guys, well, it's just one show, but you know, we're doing a show in Little Rock area like the night before, and we're not have to take any time off work. Like it's really nice. And it's, but I would think with Colorado, what people have told me, they're like, yeah, we're like 10 hours from Kansas City. And then once you would get to Kansas City, you could kind of be like, okay, now we have St. Louis and all the other places I just mentioned. But like, then you have to get home. And that's a long way home, you know? So,
dude, that's kind of like where we like stem from, is that like even where we were at to Salt Lake is like 5.5 hours. So it was 5.5 hours from there to Salt Lake. It's 8 hours from there to Denver. It's 6.5 hours from there to Boise. So it's like we are literally like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right. So it was like, no matter what hub like we tried getting to, and we've played shows in all of those cities and everything like that. Like, I mean, we, you know, and like luckily like we've had like developed good relationships and had good friends in those places, but like being a Wyoming band was freaking hard.
Oh, dude, I can imagine.
And now just like being in Salt Lake, like Salt Lake is 5.5 from Boise. It's only 40 minutes shorter to get from here to Denver, but there's like still like Vegas is closer. You have Arizona closer, like everything like that. So there is some like accessible stuff that's like, you know, it's just, and it's nice being able to like actually have like a local scene now. Like before back home, there was no local scene. Like we would get like big bands that would come through and play like the halls and stuff like that.
Sure,
but like,
sure.
Not like, I mean, it wasn't anything that like we were, you know, we weren't playing those shows. We were playing at like a dive bar, like maybe twice a year. And
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
So now it's like a dynamic shift for sure, where it's like weird that like once every like 2 or 3 days, like I have somebody like hitting me up on Instagram asking us to play a show, and I'm just like, dude, how funny. Like,
yeah.
It's so weird. It's really nice. I mean, it's awesome, but it's just, it's taken a little bit to get used to it.
Yeah. It sounds like this, the scene, and I've never played Salt Lake. I've never even been to Salt Lake before. Yeah. So like, is the scene, it sounds like the scene is pretty good there right now, or pretty active?
It's pretty active. I feel like they're, I mean, it's the same thing that we're I mean, the conversation could be had about any city in the U.S. right now where, like, you have venues closing left and right. Like, there's all these, like, long-standing, you know, venues that have been in existence for 20 years, 15 years, and stuff like that. Like, those are the venues that happen to be, like, closing and stuff like that. And so it's kind of, like, pushing bands to, like, the weeds and, like, kind of, like, going into that more, like, okay, where can we do this show? You know, where, like, who has a garage? Who has, like, a coffee shop or, like, something like that that we can, like, start doing stuff out of? It's kind of started going in more of that range as it has with a ton of other places, so we are definitely victim to that as much as anywhere. But from what I've seen, dude, like, the scene here is really cool. Everybody's, like, incredibly friendly. It's just been really cool to kind of, like, figure out this, like, new thing, you know?
Yeah. So, no, that's awesome. Yeah, I think that would be exciting. Like, I've really, you know, aside from a couple places, like, I lived in Dallas for a year and, you know, but I mean, a long time ago, I basically did, like, a semester abroad, you know, but I've lived in St. Louis most of my life, so I really only kind of know the scene here. And, right. Yeah, it's been pretty, since COVID, has been pretty good here. Like, just, yeah, just really, really, I mean, it's getting to the point where sometimes, like, when my friends want to come through town, when they're like, hey, can you get me a show on this date? And it's like 2 months away. And I'm like, dude, I don't think I'm going to be able to get one of my normal venues that I normally book at, you know what I mean? Like, cause there's so many bands, like, it's one of those things. It's just kind of like, I feel like, you know, it just gains momentum. Like, more bands start, more people are starting bands, more people are playing out, more people are going to shows. And we have had venues close for sure. Like, you know, and definitely, like, not every venue is, I mean, I would think it's really hard to, like, if you're, it's one thing if you're a bar that has, that's open all the time, that also has a music venue. Which a lot of the places we play on the road are like that, where it's like, oh, well, the main revenue probably comes from the alcohol sales. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, but if you're just a straight up small music venue that's like 85 cap room or 100 cap room, like, and you're only open when you have a show, and, you know, sometimes you have shows where just not very many people show up, like, it's got to be a hard business to be in. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, I can't imagine a world where, like, some of these, like, you're right, like, the 85 cap, 100 cap room or something like that, like, even if, like, you're charging, like, $10, you know, per person, and one of those shows is sold out, like, I mean, you do the math, I mean, you're not really making, you're making $850, $1,000,
right?
You have to pay out the band, and you have to pay out your sound person, you have to pay out the door person, you have to actually take in some revenue, so then the venue can keep its lights on, like, everything like that. I mean, that stuff, like, you would have to do that exact thing probably 6 to 8 times a month. In order to keep the lights on.
Yeah.
So anything less than that, like, you really are kind of drowning.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough,
like,
man.
The thing that, like, is the term that's always thrown around is, like, it's a labor of love. And it's like, it totally is. And it goes for everyone. It's not just the bands, not just, like, the promoter, this thing or that thing or whatever. It's down to the venue, down to, you know, the guy running door. Like, it has to be at this point.
It absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, it's hard. I mean, I feel like, for me, you know, of course I love doing this. I love writing music. I love performing. I love touring. I love recording. I love, like, every aspect of the art of music.
Yeah.
But same. I am very, you know, over the last, like, 2 or 3 years, I've gotten really focused on the business side, because I'm like, we can't, like, you know, like, we can't, we have to pay our bills. Like, we have to rent vans. We have to put gas in the van. You know, we had a diesel van on our last tour, and diesel in the East Coast is like almost $6 a gallon right now.
What?
So, yeah, it's insane. So it was like over $100 two or three times that I, like, filled it up. And I was just like, this is insane. And so it's like, you know, I totally agree. It is a labor of love, and that keeps me going. But, like, at some point, I feel like, you know, once you tour, and I know you have, you know what I mean, like, yeah. You kind of start realizing, okay, we have to make some money at this, like, not, and I'm not saying make a profit, but we need to get some kind of revenue to pay the bills to keep this going, you know?
Our last tour was in April of 2025, and that was the first tour ever in the history of me, like, being in a band, like, doing, like, little tours, like, filling in with, like, other bands and, like, different things like that. It was the first tour ever that I made. I think I came home with, like, $85, like,
yes!
more than I left.
Right. Home. Right.
And I was just like, ooh, this is making it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, holy shit.
It feels good. It feels good.
It's so ridiculous. No, I mean, was like, it was like that first time where it's like, even like touring with like other bands, like, I mean, where like I was just playing guitar for, I played guitar for this band called The Co-Founder a few years ago, and I played guitar in a band called Small Talks a couple years ago and did their tours and everything. And like, going out with them, I remember just being like, oh, like, I'm not making any money doing this. Like, this, even when they were like, yeah, we'll pay you for like your time on the road and everything like that, and it was still just like, oh my god, I shouldn't, what am I doing?
Yeah, no, I totally know what you mean, man. It's like, we have had some tours where we've made some money, and we've had some where it's been like, man, I don't even know if I want to do this again, because it's like,
yeah.
You know, But I do feel like the more you, for us, the more that we've gotten out there, the better the shows have gotten.
Yeah.
Like, the totally. You know, people, and the longer that you're a band, and the more that you get out there, and the more people hear about you and start listening to your music, like, the more people start coming to shows, which then you get a better cut.
I think there is a breaking
point. You know?
I feel like, there's like this there's this overarching kind of like thing with like being a touring band and everything like that, and I was talking to somebody about it not terribly long ago, that I feel like it's three shows. If you go to like a new market, like if you play San Diego three times, and that market, like, you're not seeing that market like improve. Like, if your name, or, like, whatever that means, you know, if your streams or your whatever, you know, you're not seeing those numbers move at all. In the three times that you've played San Diego, you probably shouldn't play San Diego for, like, a while longer. Like,
sure.
You should probably, like, do some groundwork.
A few
figure
years.
Figure out,
yeah.
Like, where you're, like, how you can, like, develop something in that area or whatever, whether it be, like, a meta ad or whatever, even though I hate the words that I'm saying, but, you know, sometimes that stuff works. But that was, like, us on this last tour. It was, we sold out Spokane, Washington.
Oh, nice.
And we were, like, 15 tickets away from selling out Portland. And I was like, okay, this is the fourth time that we've played Portland, so this is, like, sick that it, like, finally, like, makes sense for us. Like, it was like, okay, Portland's, like, we kind of have them, like, Portland locked in.
Yeah,
where, like,
yeah.
People, like, came up to me at the show, and they were like, hey, so good to see you again, and, like, everything like that. Like, where it's, like, we were, you know, maybe eight people that showed up had seen us before, which,
yeah.
I was like, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, even like 10 people, like, it doesn't seem like a ton to you know, most bands or whatever, but like, that's a lot for a DIY band.
Absolutely. Yeah,
like, that's a lot for a DIY band. And like, Seattle, we always have good pull in Seattle. Now California is just kind of like the one that we've struggle, like, California, there's always so much shit going on.
Yeah.
That, like, you can be at a different show, at a different venue every night, and just kind of, like, California, I'm not going to say it's been bad. It's been incredibly hit or miss. Half the shows are incredible, and the other half of the shows, I wish that we would have just taken the day off. and so, we're actually, I'm in the middle of booking a West Coast tour right now for October, November of this year. And even that, I'm like, okay, we're going to get to California and we're going to, like, spend some time in the market and, like, figure it out. Like,
yeah,
we're gonna,
yeah.
we're gonna like really like, I feel like in previous tours where we would do like, we would drive in from Vegas and it was like, cool, we're gonna play San Diego, LA, and then we're gonna go play San Francisco, Oakland, and then we're just going to Oregon. And on this tour, it's like we're playing San Diego, Fullerton, Anaheim, and then we're going to Santa Cruz. And then yeah. It's like we're like really just like dip, like taking like baby steps up.
Yeah.
So I think that's like a definitely a thing that like touring bands could like learn from one another is like those large cities like Los Angeles, like LA, there are a million things happening inside of Los Angeles. If you're a new band and it's your first time going to the West Coast or whatever, don't play Los Angeles. Don't try. Play the area. Go play in like Oceanside or like somewhere like that. Or like if you're in the Bay Area, like, you know, as cool as it is to go play San Francisco, like maybe go play Santa Cruz, maybe go play Oakland, go play Berkeley, go, you know, try and get into Gilman and some of those smaller like markets and everything like that. Dude, the scenes are almost better.
Yeah. Oh, dude, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely resonate with that. I feel like the smaller, we played in Santa Cruz last year, and it was one of the best shows on the tour.
You guys play the Blue Lagoon?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. And then we played Gilman.
Of course.
Right after that. And I feel like some of those places, like Gilman, especially, it's like, that's kind of like a community where it's like, okay, people kind of come out to the shows, like, you know, maybe not every night, but like people will come out no matter who's playing at some of these places.
They don't even care.
Yeah, it's like a built-in crowd kind of type thing.
100%.
You know, but I
think we also played Gilman last year, so it was like I was like actually shocked at the number of people that came to our Gilman show.
Yeah,
and I was like, holy shit, there's like a lot of people here. And that's when I can't remember the promoter's name right now. I was just talking to him the other day too, but he started talking to me about like, yeah, dude, it's like kind of like this is a pretty average night for us. And I was like, that's rad, dude. Like, must be nice.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, no, I think I agree with your three show theory too. Like, I think, you know, luckily we've had, luckily there hasn't really been a city that we went to like, you know, three times that we felt like, oh, you know, we're not going to come back here for a few years. Because I do feel like most of the time it is like, you know, you go there the first time and you don't know what to expect. And then the second time you maybe come back the next year and like, there's a few more. And then, you know, you come back the third time and I mean, it's maybe a little bit different for us because like Kansas City is so close and Chicago is so close that you do have people. I think if you have eight people that are telling you, hey, I saw you last time and it's your fourth time there, like, I think that's amazing, man. Like,
that's huge, dude. That's like huge.
Yeah, I mean,
on our last tour we had, our Seattle show, we had like, it was a husband and wife. And then it was just like some like other like random like guy or whatever. And the three of them, they've been like active followers. Like they've like really like they've reached out to me like multiple times, just like chit chatty, you know, with me on Instagram or like whatever and stuff like that. So I know that they're like invested in like what the band has going on or whatever. But those three people at our Seattle show were 1,500 miles away from home.
Yeah.
It was the first time that I had ever seen somebody that wasn't from Wyoming or Utah singing our lyrics.
Oh, that's so cool.
I was like, oh man, like,
dude, that's it's the best feeling ever. Yeah.
It's the best feeling ever. Like, it was the first time for me where it was just like I looked down and I was just like, no way.
Yeah. Dude, you can't help but smile when that's happening too. It's like just the best feeling ever. But yeah, man, I totally agree. I think it's you know, we played Kansas City is a perfect example, and Philly. We recently just played Philly for the fourth time, and like we have friends there. So like whenever we're coming to town, I like message people. And I'm like, hey, you know, we're playing. So you know, I know that a lot of those people have seen us multiple times, but we did have a couple people came up to me and they were like, oh yeah, I saw you guys at Ortlieb's last time, or I saw you guys when you played the Broken Goblet with Wilhelm Scream. And like, you know, it really is, even though you don't recognize those people, or maybe you met them at the show before and you don't recognize them, you know, you just saw them kind of in passing. Like, that is such a confidence boost that, like, it's like, oh my God, you came back. Oh, you saw us three. This is your third time seeing us. Like, wow. Like, you know what I mean?
When we showed up to the venue in Spokane or whatever, I was talking to the ticket sale, like the ticket booth or whatever. And they were like, dude, this is probably going to sell out. And I was like, what are tickets at? And they were like, we're sitting at like 92% of tickets sold right now. And I was like, what? And I mean, that's like anytime that like a venue is ever like, can you send me like video of like you guys playing live, or can you do the, you know, you know exactly what it's
sure,
like.
Sure.
And anytime a venue like hits us up for like live footage, that's the video I send them right away. I'm just like,
yeah.
And because it was like, it wasn't just a sold out room, like the room was moving when we played.
That's awesome.
Like, it was like, it looks like it was like, I don't know. It was a super cool show.
They were into it.
Yeah. So cool.
That's so cool, man. I'm so stoked to see you guys. I'm stoked for you guys to come to Kansas City.
I'm so excited.
Wish you were coming to St. Louis. I would have, I mean, we don't, to be honest, you know, since we're kind of talking about like, we don't play a ton in St. Louis, like, just because it's not, you were talking about like smaller cities.
Yeah.
It's not a very big city. And so like, I really try to space out like our, especially our headlining shows where it's like our show where we put together the bill and I'm the promoter on it. We have gotten some like good supporting slots this year on like with some touring bands. So like those are a little bit different. It's like, you know, it's not really your show. You're just kind of on the bill to like support them and bring some people to the show for them.
Right.
But
we're spreading the message that is XXXX.
Yes.
A little on the screen or whatever.
Exactly. So, but I mean, you know, I would love to have you guys come to St. Louis, and if we could, if it would fit with our schedule, I would totally play with you guys. But if not, I think we could get a really good show here for you.
I would love to play St. Louis.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your sound, because you guys kind of remind me a little bit of the Anniversary. Were you into that band at all, or do you get that a lot?
It's them or the Get Up Kids, dude. That's the only thing I ever say.
I'm a huge Get Up Kids fan too. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Me too. I love both of those. Okay, so actually, funny thing is I hear the Anniversary way more than I hear the Get Up Kids, and I didn't know the Get Up Kid, or I didn't know who the Anniversary was until we played Treefort Music Festival in Boise. We played Treefort, and somebody came up to me afterwards, and they were like, dude, you guys, like, scratched that itch for me. Like, I haven't heard, like, the Anniversary in years, and, like, blah, 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 and all this. And I was just like, I have no idea who that is. I had no idea who it was, like, completely off my radar. And I, like, went that night. I think we were at, like, our Airbnb or whatever, and I, like, sat down and listened to it, and I was like, holy shit, this is my band.
I love that.
I was just like, oh, my God. Shout out, Caleb from Hey, I Love You. He's the one that, he came to our show and he was like, dude, I was like, I have no idea who this is. And it sounds exactly like my band. Like, dude, it's exactly what I'm trying to do.
They
was so funny.
They were so, I just did a post with them about them, and they are such an underrated band. And like, they didn't last very. They only put out two albums, and their second album, like, didn't do nearly as well as the first. The first was like this emo male female vocal trading off, like, with keyboards and like just really, really, I don't want to say innovative, but it was just a different sound for the time.
They were tapping into the roots of, like, I mean, you had the Get Up Kids, like, doing what they were doing, and you had, like, I mean, you had Braid doing what they were doing, or Hey Mercedes, like one of those projects. And like you had Sunny Day Real Estate was doing what they were doing. And like all of those bands are, I would throw any of those bands in like the same bucket and be like, yeah, they're all in the same pail. Like we're, you know, and then it's like the like Motion City Soundtrack. We occasionally will get the Motion City Soundtrack like throw out or whatever.
Oh, sure.
It's like pop, punky synth, whatever. And like, I wouldn't say that like the Anniversary and like Motion City Soundtrack like sound similar to each other at all. Like I feel like that those are like completely, like those are just different things.
Sure, sure.
And so, but you're like listening to Braid, like you're listening to those bands, and it's like, okay, this definitely is in that bucket. But like, even saying that the Anniversary is doing what the Get Up Kids was doing is like, not
it's
really.
It's definitely different. Yeah, it's yeah, definitely it's different. Yeah, yeah.
Part of the same scene, but like, just not. There's so little overlap.
Right, right. No, I totally agree. We just played a show with Hot Rod Circuit, and they're
I love that band.
Oh, dude, they're awesome. I'm gonna try to get one of them on the podcast. But Josh from the Anniversary, his band played before them. They're called the Only Children, and they're kind of more of just like a rock and roll band. But I got to talk to him for a decent amount of time. I'm gonna try to get him on the podcast. Because he and I have a mutual friend, so we immediately, like, I knew he was going to be there, and the minute we saw each other, we just started talking and you know, hit it off. So, like,
yeah,
I want to dig into more Anniversary stuff, though. I didn't get to talk to him that much about it. We talked about just a bunch of other stuff. But but I want to talk to him about what you're saying, you know, is, like, how did, like, where did the sound come from and all that? Because it definitely feels like that out their first album especially was, like, just really, really good. So
I feel like our thing, like, I mean, like reverting back to like the question or
whatever,
that, like, like, it's funny that, like, so Box Elder was like born out of like COVID. Like, it was like my solo project. I just like was teaching myself how to record and like mix and master, like do the whole thing, you know. And Box Elder was my baby project on like teaching myself how to do all that. And like, I was listening to like a lot of I was listening to a lot of like Death Cab. I was listening to a lot of like Manchester Orchestra. I was listening to The Cure a lot. Like, okay. I was listening to like a lot of like those types of bands. So when like Box Elder first started, I was like really I wanted there to be like more development, like musically, at like what was going on, instead of it just being like another like punk rock band with a bass, a guitar, and a drums, and a this and a that. Like, I wanted like more like ambient layering in the guitars, like,
yeah, where everything
stacked together more. And I wanted more like the synth as like glue between all the sections, and like taking the lead parts from Motion City or whatever have you. And like, that was the thing that started resonating with me more, because, dude, I've been playing in punk rock bands forever and I'm bored of it. Like, I just wanted to be doing something like a little bit more. And that's how this kind of came to be.
I love that. Yeah, that's really cool, man, because I do think there's so many bands that it's like, you know, I love to discover new music, and there's so many bands that I see on Facebook, and like, my band is guilty of it too, where it's just like four white guys that all wearing a t-shirt and jeans of like other bands that like, that you wearing a Menzinger shirt, where, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they all kind of look the same, and they all, I don't want to say they all sound the same, but there's similarities, there's commonalities, and it's like, how do you really stand out from that? And I think that's something you guys, your sound does a good job of, you know?
I try. I definitely try. It's just like, I agree with you 100%. It's the thing that, like, I love the Menzingers. Like, they are one of my favorite bands of all time.
Me too. Yeah.
I love the Menzingers with my entire heart, soul, et cetera, et cetera. Like, the whole thing. I love, you know, I love punk music. I love the Flatliners. I love Strung Out. Like, I love those bands. Propagandhi. It's not that it's not cool. It's not that I don't love it or have, like, a high level of respect for it. I have seen it so frequently. Like, I've just seen it over and over, and I've heard it just so much that I might get some hate for this. Like, you really have to, like, be damn good at doing it for me to, like, really give you my attention.
No, it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Like,
because there's so many.
Like, I'm not trying to, like, make myself, like, my band is, like, so much easier to listen to or whatever, but it's just, like, that thing of, like, I've just seen, like, the same kind of, like, four dudes in jeans and playing power chords, singing, you know, even if, like, the songs are good or whatever, like, there's not, like, this, like, lasting, like, impression unless the songs are really, really good.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, that's just kind of where I'm at. And I think even now, it's funny, like, how almost, like, infrequently I listen to, like punk rock. Like, I love Alkaline Trio. I love Rancid. I love, you know, all those bands too. But I don't really listen to a lot of that stuff anymore. Like, I feel like now I'm listening to, like, more, like, Minus the Bear, I listen to Built Spillaton, sure. I listen to Modest Mouse and Pinback, and, like, Silver Sun Pickups was my, I binged two of their albums this morning. So it's like Manchester Orchestra has become like one of my favorite bands because their songwriting and just, like, the way their songs develop is just so much, like, it's so incredible, and it's just so much more than just, like, straight power chord rock stuff.
Yeah. If I were to, if you were to try to get me into Manchester Orchestra, what would be the album that you'd tell me to listen to?
Hope.
Okay. I'll do it. You're not the first person who's told me that I should, like, get into it, and I try, but I feel like I need either to be in the right mood or, like, something just hasn't hooked me in yet. You know what I mean?
Cope is the record that... Okay, so funny story about Manchester specifically. I saw them live probably in, like, 2017 because my friend Scott was going to a show, and he... Foxing and Tiger's Jaw were the openers, and I love both of those bands. Manchester, I was kind of I know of them, like, I think I've heard, like, them in passing or, like, whatever, and it just, like, kind of, you know, it was probably the same thing as you, where it just, like, wasn't, like, the right time, right space, whatever, and I remember going to that show and just being, like, they're okay, like, there's, like, nothing, like, they're fine, and, like, Tiger's Jaw is, like, one of my favorite bands, so I was just, like, so, I think, like, in this, like thing with Tiger's Jaw that I was like I kind of honestly like overlooked Foxing, and Manchester came out after Tiger's Jaw, and I was kind of like whatever, it's cool, and like years later I was it was during COVID because they did Manchester Orchestra did a like a live stream like YouTube thing for COVID where they got together and they did like a really like high end like studio session, and like it was professionally mixed, like did the whole thing, and they live streamed it on YouTube and later released it on YouTube. I remember my friend Cody posted about it, and I was just like, oh, I don't really like. Maybe now's my time. I miss live music, as many of us did during the COVID year, so it was like, okay, maybe this will, like, scratch that itch for me. So I sat down and I watched their live set, and it, like, blew me away.
Oh, nice.
So that was the moment that I actually got really into Manchester Orchestra.
Okay.
And then I was listening to their albums, and their early stuff doesn't really do it for me. And then I like got to Cope and I sat down with that record and was just like, it is so heavy and like sentimental and like beautiful in all the right places.
Nice.
It is a top 10 record for me at this point in my life, I think. Like, it's okay. Incredible.
Yeah, dude, I will definitely check it out, brother.
You have to dig
it. Yeah, especially after the way you're talking about it. But, dude, we have a minute and 30 seconds left. It's like a running joke. I haven't like paid for the pro Zoom. I'm just still using the free version, but we will be playing with you guys in Kansas City on March 30th. Where can people find your all your tour dates and you know, where can they listen to the album, all that stuff? Where's the main
tour
place?
Dates, everything like that, are going to be on Instagram or Band Is In Town or on our Bandcamp. Bandcamp, you can listen to the record streaming tonight at 10 p.m. And it's actually premiering at New Noise Magazine right now, so you can listen to the whole record right now if you want.
Awesome.
But Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, all the and bullshit.
It's
on Spotify, but
at Box Elder Music.
At Box Elder Music. Yeah.
Okay, perfect, awesome, Chris. Thank you so much, dude. I'm gonna try to have this up tomorrow. I really appreciate you taking the time, man. I'm so stoked to see you in Kansas City in like a month. And I hope your tour goes super well. I'll be following along, and much love to you, dude.
Thank you so much.
All right, see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.